development has offered the U.S. government a prisoner swap. Mohammad Javad Zarif told the Asia Society that Iran has yet to receive a response from the Trump administration.
All these people that are in prison inside the United States, on extradition requests from the United States, we believe their charges are phony. The United States believe the charges against these people in Iran are phony. Why? Let's not discuss that. Let's have an exchange.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Emergency crews are scrambling after a deadly tornado ripped through northern Louisiana. Two people were killed when the twister struck the small city of Ruston, located about 70 miles east of Shreveport and home to Louisiana Tech. Governor John Bel Edwards says there's still a threat of severe weather as storms move across the Gulf Coast region today. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now playing Breakthrough, starring Chrissy Metz.
Boys, get off the ice!
He's been underwater for 15 minutes.
The odds were against her son.
He's had no pulse for over an hour.
Until his mother's prayer.
Please send her Holy Spirit to save my son.
Proved the impossible.
We've got a pulse!
Now.
I don't believe John will survive the night.
Discover the incredible true story.
You don't know my son.
Of an extraordinary miracle.
He is a fighter.
Breakthrough. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. For tickets, go to breakthroughmovie.com.
Larry Kudlow, the top economic advisor to President Trump and director of the National Economic Council, says the United States is at the beginning of a new prosperity wave. Kudlow was speaking at the National Press Club.
So you've had big policy changes, and among other things, besides the better growth, you know, we're seeing, for example, blue-collar employment is rising at the fastest pace, really, since I was last here under the Reagan years, with similar policies, frankly, on low marginal tax rates. Biggest contributors to the labor force last year were female, and I think that's good because we hadn't seen that in quite some time. Participation rates are rising. Unemployment rates, you know, overall 3.8%, which is a great number, and it's been down there for several months now. But underneath that, you could go down the list of various groups and see extraordinarily historically low unemployment rates. It's covered a lot of the economy. And we are proposing, as part of the tax bill, and we've released regulations, that we're making a bigger push on these so-called opportunity zones, which invite private investment, again, with tax incentives, that I think will really add to the strength and breadth and depth of this prosperity recovery we're talking about. Every nook and cranny of this economy can share in prosperity.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Welcome to our show, Sharing the Hope, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Radio. My name is Rocky Schwartz, and my co-host is Christine Yanoso.
Hi.
Big shout out to Jennifer Denlinger, who is up in Maine, who is also going to be one of our co-hosts. We are the Family Support Coordinators at Prevention Resources, a nonprofit organization based in Flemington since 1971. Prevention Resources is dedicated to the prevention of substance use disorders, treatment through education, training, intervention, community awareness, referral services, and counseling. We work in the Family Support Center that provides support to anyone in Hunterdon, Somerset, or Mercer counties who has a loved one with a substance use disorder. We meet with families one-on-one, by phone, email, or text. We literally and figuratively meet with families where they are. All our services are free. Our new radio show will be every week on Thursdays from 5 to 6 o'clock. We broadcast live on Facebook, and the shows will be posted so you can listen at your convenience. Please follow our Facebook page called Sharing the Hope. We welcome your comments and suggestions for future guests and topics. We are very fortunate today to have as our first guest, full disclosure, my dear friend, Peg Wright, from the Center for Great Expectations. And I want to thank you for taking the time to be here today. And welcome.
Thank you. My pleasure. I'm delighted to be here.
So, Peg.
Okay, so stay tuned for some local advertising, and we will be back in a moment.
This is only about 2 minutes.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Welcome back to Huntington Chamber Radio with Sharing the Hope. Today's weather, as you might notice outside, there's some scattered showers, high of 67, and the chance of precipitation is about 30%. Tonight, showers are likely, mainly after 3 p.m. or in this evening. It's cloudy and 51 with a chance of precipitation at 60%. So we will be right back after a little bit more local advertising.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Huntington Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@huntington-chamber.org.
Welcome to Sharing the Hope. I am going back to welcome my dear guest, Peg Wright. Peg, can you tell us, how did you get started in this work?
Well, it was a complete God thing. I was retired from my corporate job, and I had my son, and he was 3 years old, and I was a little bored, so I ended up at a place in Somerville by the name of Great Expectations Maternity Home. And they had two bedrooms, two beds in one and four in another, and they were taking care of women that were pregnant and homeless. And probably about a year or two, actually 2 years after that, I met my mentor, Sister Rita Wolke, and she said, what are we doing here? We should be serving homeless women. And many homeless women have substance use disorders or mental health disorders. So we decided that that's what we would do. And so we created a new company in 1998 to do just that. And we knew that we couldn't really do everything that we needed to do because women couldn't come back with their after they gave birth to their children. So I started to figure out the landscape of the state and what a board did. And in 2008, this is the Reader's Digest version, we raised $4.2 million, and we built two residential centers, one dedicated to adolescents and their children, and one dedicated to women who were pregnant and parenting and their children. And that's where it all, that's where things really started to heat up in 1998, or rather in 2008. So that was in Somerset. So we moved from Somerville to Somerset to a lovely three-acre campus. So
that's quite impressive. So, Peg, you went in from 1998, a two-bedroom house, serving 12 women, to today you have served, is this correct, 600 individuals a year?
Roughly, yes.
That is a remarkable evolution. Can you share with us how that happened?
The need is tremendous, you know, and one of the things that we recognized when we expanded into Somerset was that it's one thing to be able to provide residential treatment to women with children. But unless you are able to create a continuum of care and continue the support and the treatment, it doesn't really work well. So it was another God thing. We found out that we were federally funded to launch an outpatient program a couple of years after we opened the residential. So at the end of 2009, we got a SAMHSA grant and launched our outpatient program. And shortly after that, we were able to maneuver some funds to begin to launch our supportive housing program. So we have currently 30 supportive housing apartments, which is just not enough, but it's a start. It's a start. So women can effectively move from residential from, not say, an average of 9 months to outpatient to supportive housing. And even if they're not in our supportive housing, they can still access our outpatient treatment. Most recently, we got a grant from the Department of Health to do an in-home program for opioid-dependent women and children in Hunterdon, Middlesex, and Somerset County. So that program essentially provides substance use disorder treatment, parent-infant mental health, and case management. So when you put all those people together, that's where you get the 600.
So I don't know if our audience realizes how unusual that is. And I'm going to make the assumption that our audience doesn't know necessarily what outpatient and what SAMHSA is. So would you mind clarifying that?
Sure. Mm-hmm. So outpatient treatment is, you know, there are three levels. You know, intensive outpatient, for example, which is essentially 9 hours of treatment per week. And then it steps down. So our outpatient program is, like everything that we do, trauma-informed. So we look at an individual with substance use essentially as a response to trauma, and primarily complex trauma, which means, and I'll define that for you.
Thank you.
That means that, you know, one of the things that creates complex trauma is emotional abuse, which is probably the most detrimental. Actually, statistically, more detrimental than sexual or physical abuse. So emotional trauma can occur when a child, for example, lives in a home with an active substance user or someone with a mental health disorder, for example. An individual can experience bullying in school that can create emotional trauma. Undiagnosed mental health disorders can create emotional trauma. So, I mean, because of that, I mean, looking at trauma, you know, beginning a treatment model with a comprehensive psychiatric evaluation is critical. Introducing medication-assisted treatment, critical. And then integrating a trauma-informed approach in a substance use disorder setting, we believe, is the only way to go. And we've been doing it for a while. We've been doing it for 10 years. So it's kind of a buzzword now, trauma-informed care. Mm-hmm. For us, it's in our DNA. It's who we are, and it's how we deliver care. So
it seems, too, that you're the leader in trauma-informed from everything that from what we hear from other providers, the nurtured heart approach, which, you know, as we know, is just that positive reinforcement, you know, that is throughout all of your staff. So if somebody is going to be in your outpatient program, they could be living in your subsidized housing, so they're not in residential anymore, now they're doing outpatient and you're still housing them, is that correct?
Absolutely.
See, that's so important that we follow through and we don't leave leave people after the program ends. You know, it doesn't end,
right.
You know. And that's
exactly.
One of the amazing things that you guys are doing, you know, just staying with them.
We are with them, and they keep in touch.
Yeah.
So it's a critical piece.
So I think this might be a good time to take a break. Frankly, I think we could do a whole show on parent-infant mental health, a whole show on trauma-informed care, but we will table that.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we will now go to a local commercial break.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Welcome back to Sharing the Hope. I'm your host, Rocky Schwartz. My co-host is Christine Yonoso. We also have family support groups that meet twice a month, and all are welcome, and it is free. We have a group in Somerville that meets the second and fourth Fridays at 6 o'clock, and the Flemington group meets the first and third Wednesday at 6:30. These groups are specifically for family members who have a loved one with a substance use disorder, and the goal is for someone to feel less isolated and to feel like they are not alone in living with this substance use disorders, which can be quite exhausting and terrifying. So we are speaking with Peg Wright from the Center for Great Expectations. I do want to talk about trauma again, Peg, but you mentioned the outpatient program that you're offering here in Hunterdon County. Can you speak to that a little bit more? Mm-hmm. Not outpatient program, I'm sorry.
The START program.
START program, yes.
Yes. So the START program was designed to assist specifically opioid-dependent women. We're hopeful that we could expand that so that we could help others as well, but right now it's for opioid-dependent women with children, and so we would go into the home and provide substance use disorder treatment and or referral, parent-infant mental health, and case management. So, you know, parent-infant mental health, it's a wonderful way to assist a woman specifically. So if you can imagine, for example, you know, if you haven't experienced a positive attachment to your own mother, and you don't know what that feels like or that looks like. Parent-infant mental health is not didactic, it's like not parenting 101, but it's very relational, and it explores a woman's feelings about how she was parented, what the relationship with her own mother was like as far back as she can remember, and, you know, some of her, you know, hopes and dreams for the kind of relationship and attachment that you'll have with your infant and child. And it's really a beautiful thing.
How are these women referred to you?
In the residential program, the adult women are referred through primarily DCP&P,
okay,
the Department of Children.
And in the in-home as well?
Correct.
Okay.
So, but we take referrals from hospitals, from the Board of Social Services, from, you know, really anywhere.
Yeah, okay.
And DCP and is what we used to call DIPAS, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, we can also afford medication-assisted treatment. So
I'd love if we could talk about more that a little more.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's in Hunterdon County, that's few and far between.
Mm-hmm. And
it's, you know, it's evidence-based. You know, with someone with an opioid dependence, to not afford them an opportunity to utilize MAT, I think, is not a good idea. I won't be too emphatic. But.
Message heard loud and clear.
Yes, mm-hmm, absolutely.
And people need to be educated. You know, they need to understand that, you know, an individual on buprenorphine is on medication as any other individual would be with hypertension or, you know, any other illness. And it's critical. It really impacts the outcome significantly. So we strongly believe it.
And that's important, too, is the education piece. The stigma that's involved with all of it needs to, you know, needs to be wiped away. You
absolutely.
Know, this is a medication for an illness. Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to think of it as I wear contacts. I need them in order to see the world more clearly.
Yeah.
It's not a judgment. It just is.
Yeah.
And so
mm-hmm.
a lot of these medications just help things be clearer.
Correct.
And they also take away the cravings, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Peg.
You're welcome.
Now, the trauma model, mm-hmm. which you said you have been using for 10 years.
Well, we've developed it
yes.
over a period of time. And, you know, we used to believe that you couldn't treat trauma and substance use simultaneously, that you had to wait until someone was sober and had, you know, embraced a path of recovery before you could get involved in looking at their trauma, and we know now that that's not true. That in fact, in many cases, if you're not able to approach those issues, that sobriety is, you know, difficult to embrace. So we were fortunate. You know, I had a colleague come from, you know, Princeton House, which was doing this 10 years ago, and over time. You know, we at the center have adopted what is called the ARC model, which is an acronym for Attachment, Emotional Regulation, and Competency. And it was developed out of the Trauma Center in Brookline, Massachusetts. Bessel van der Kolk and his group, they're not there anymore, but they worked in the trauma space for many, many years. And it really makes a lot of sense. It requires the clinician to be able to use self-regulation techniques. You know, we integrate nurtured heart into that.
Mm-hmm.
But it allows, you know, a client to get to a safe place in which they can actually share what happened to them. You know, we're not interested in what they did. We're interested in what happened to them.
What happened.
And we assist them in understanding that what happened to them is not their fault. And so, of course, they use substances. What else would you do to mitigate that pain?
Right. Something I found interesting, I became a Nurtured Heart trainer, a certified trainer through Nurtured Heart, and we had a big trauma-informed segment in that training. And it was interesting to find out that trauma does not have to be huge. You know, trauma can be something that people say, well, that happened, but it wasn't trauma, and it affects you, you know, and to kind of, you know, move away from that idea that this has to be a huge trauma that's going to affect you for the rest of your life became important, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I can give you a great example. So I was an adopted child. My birth mother was under exquisite stress. It was reported to me. That was a trauma to me before I was born. We know this now.
You know this now.
We know this
mm-hmm.
now. I was adopted into a family where my mother had a serious mental illness, which she later recovered from. It was just extraordinary that she did. That was traumatic. So when I was 16 and I had my first drink, it was nirvana. Those are experiences that we call complex trauma, because it's like water dripping. And over time, it creates changes in the brain that are mitigated beautifully with substances. And they work.
And they work. And that's what I think people don't realize, is that it's changing things in your brain when you
yes.
are faced with trauma, especially over a long period of time. Correct. A young person's brain developing is affected by trauma, and the outcome is different than somebody who has not experienced that kind of trauma.
And really, between individuals, different people have different levels of resilience, and that is another, you know, component of of how things shake out. So, you know, one of the screening tools that we use, you know, and maybe some of your audience have heard about ACEs, which is an acronym for Adverse Childhood Experiences.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So three or four ACEs would indicate that you'll end up with a 4,000 greater chance of ending up with a substance use or mental health disorder.
And that's scary, right? And the awareness isn't there of that, you know, which is also, I think, a scary piece. I think that some people think that this trauma happened, I accepted it, I dealt with it, and I'm moving on.
Right.
But you're not dealing with the fact that your brain has been developing differently, you know, so trauma affects everything in your life. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I think also what's interesting, Peg, is you said that it's very, very difficult to maintain any kind of abstinence if this is not dealt with. And I'm thinking about all the triggers that make the person re-experience trauma over and over again, which will just happen in life. So I love the fact that you're treating this at the same time. Based on my experience and other treatment programs that I know about, I don't know anyone else that's doing it like you are, which is why I think you're training other organizations. Is that correct?
We are. Yes, we are. We've had an opportunity to train the folks at Eva's Village. We're training at Straight and Narrow. We've trained at Daytop. And we're going to begin training at Carrier Clinic. So.
Very nice. Yeah.
PEG is actually recognized nationally as a leader in this trauma-informed care. And I know you don't like to brag about yourself, but it is quite impressive. And I know it comes from the heart.
It's an epidemic that we really need to address. So I'm privileged to be surrounded by really competent people.
So I noticed in your bio that you have a team of about 100 people. Is that correct?
We have 110.
110.
Yes, employees right now. And it takes every single one of them. It really does. We're getting ready to scale up. So,
would you like to speak to that right now?
Sure.
Scale up.
Well, you know, it's so we are funded by the federal government and the state of New Jersey. But of my $7.3 million budget, we raise $1.7 million. And that is how we deliver the level of care that we are able to. And we simply will not do less.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, frankly, you know, the way that I think about it is if you're not delivering a level of care that can really impact an individual's life, you know, you're setting them up and ultimately exacerbating their shame when things don't go well. So, you know, we really insist on, you know, a particular level of care. But what we've recognized is that to depend on state and federal government and or philanthropy is not the only way to go. So I've been reading over the last number of years about social innovation and social enterprise. And we are about to embark in that arena so that we can expand and scale our model. And most recently, you know, we recognize that in order to really make an impact, you have to really engage with the community. And I don't know if you had an opportunity. I would invite your readers, if you can, to go online and check out an article written by David. I'm having a senior moment. Oh my gosh.
New York Times.
Yeah, we can add that to our page with this stream, right? David, I'm having a senior moment.
David Brooks.
Okay.
There you go. All
okay.
right. The Aspen Institute, and it's called The Weavers.
Okay.
And we all need to be weavers, which means that we need to be in relationship with one another. We need to be together. And we need to support one another. And we're losing that with social media and with, you know, it's... So recently we've launched a prevention division at the Center for Great Expectations. And because I think it's critical. And so what we're doing is we are affording school systems to begin with a way to mitigate the anxiety and stress in the culture. And so were you trained by Frank Piccone for Nurtured Heart?
No, Howard Glasser.
Howard Glasser.
Yeah.
Well, Howard Glasser and Frank are buddies. And I hired Frank, and we have launched a school-based initiative. And our pilot is actually Hunterdon Central High School.
Oh, nice, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So as it relates to community, what we did was we identified a steering committee of approximately, I don't know, 18 people, and Frank trained those 18 people in the Nurtured Heart approach, in emotional regulation skills, and in just understanding the brain and ACEs. Mm-hmm. And the response was extraordinary. And then we went off and we did a presentation, an all-day presentation to all 300 teachers in the school. And then from that point, Frank went on to do observation in 11 classrooms throughout Hunterdon Central.
After the training.
After the training.
Oh, nice.
It was
incredible. It's got to be very impactful.
Absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. And the feedback was amazing.
Yeah.
And that's the community. And we're just beginning at Hunterdon Central.
Once you start delivering that positive message and to see it perceived, you know, I know a lot of our therapeutic schools, I've had, you know, some experience with a lot of the therapeutic schools, and the staff is smaller, so they were able to go in and really work on the Nurtured Heart approach, and it changes how they approach those students in a day in and day out basis.
Exactly.
So in a large school like that, it's just remarkable that they're bringing those things to them. Yeah.
And then
it's so needed.
It's
so needed.
One of the most extraordinary things was, you know, one of the biggest takeaways for me was that many of the teachers and administration would say that, you know, I'm using some of these techniques at home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
No, it does not. Mm-hmm.
So it's...
It's very empowering.
Very.
It's very empowering for the teachers, to be given all of that knowledge, that information, and then go use it, you know.
And then see a change happen.
See a change happen.
See a child open up.
And that's prevention at the beginning.
You got it.
That's prevention at the beginning.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Certainly is not to just say no.
Yeah, no, it's a lot. It's a lot more than just say no. That's true. Yeah,
I can't wait to see the impact of this kind of work in our community.
Well, we've collected data, because we collect data with everything that we do. So we have very close relationships with Rutgers University in several departments, and we partner with them in data collection in our residential, in our outpatient, and now in the school system. So you have to do that.
Yeah.
It can't just be, I'm telling you that it's working.
That it's working, exactly.
You need to be able to back it up with data.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to take a commercial break, and perhaps when we come back we can talk more about the work you're doing right here in Hunterdon County.
Okay, so we're going to go to some local news, and then we'll come back and hear some more great stuff from Peg.
Amazing. This is Chris Pagula.
Hi, Chris.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A Massachusetts state judge and court officer are facing federal charges for helping an illegal alien escape arrest by immigration authorities. Judge Shelley Joseph and court officer Wesley McGregor were indicted today in Boston on obstruction of justice and face other federal charges. They're accused of allowing a twice-deported defendant to escape out the back door of a courthouse in Newton, Massachusetts, in April of 2018. In Fort Worth, Texas, presidential hopeful Bernie Sanders doubles down on comments that raised some eyebrows from folks earlier this week.
You know, the other day I was roundly criticized for saying something that I think is common sense. And I think that every American citizen, because of their citizenship, should have the right to vote, even if they're in jail.
The Dow lost 134 points to close at 26,463. This is USA Radio News.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities, or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available on Amazon.
Lumber Liquidators Flooring Company has you covered with the hottest styles for any room. Get 15 to 25% off our best-selling floors, like Rose Canyon Pine Waterproof Vinyl and Wide Plank Willow Manor Oak Hardwood. Get started today with special financing, and we can arrange the installation for you. See the flooring experts at your local Lumber Liquidators today. Lumber Liquidators, beautiful floors for less.
Welcome back to Sharing the Hope. This is Rocky Schwartz, your host. I'm with Christine Yanoso, my co-host, and we are having a wonderful conversation with Ted Wright, CEO from the Center for Great Expectations. So prior to the break, we were talking about the training that you're doing with the staff at Hunterdon Central High School. Would you mind sharing some quotes, data? You described data. Do you have any qualitative data you could share with us?
I have some. Yes, I have definitely have qualitative data. And, you know, Hunterdon Central, my three sons went through that high school, so I can't tell you how it warms my heart to be there and to see this wonderful work happening. So, I mean, one of the quotes that I love from Vince, he said, "I've been teaching at Hunterdon Central since 1995, and in my opinion, this is the best training that I have ever attended. As I listen to Frank talk about the nurtured heart approach, I think about how important it is to address my students in a positive manner, especially since they may not be getting that form of kindness and validation at home. I also want to thank Frank for not only helping to make me a better teacher, but a better partner and a better father to my own two children. Frank's examples and stories are all so relative, and they help us to, they give us a better understanding of this approach. I'm incredibly grateful to Frank for giving us the language to use in our everyday encounters with students and helping us to be better at our jobs, not only at work, but at home." So I thought that was just fantastic.
Beautiful.
And we heard that over and over again, that not only were teachers better able to really elicit a response from kids in classes that were shut down, but then to be able to take those trainings and approaches and use them with their own families. And that's fantastic.
So the Nurtured Heart approach is, could you sum up what the Nurtured Heart approach is briefly? Because it's big, right?
But it is big. It is big. You know, essentially, you know, the Nurtured Heart approach is really effusively and authentically acknowledging the greatness that exists in every single person. And, you know, as parents, as teachers, I think we focus on what a child is not doing right.
That's right.
And we really give a lot of energy to what isn't working well. And, you know, you sit your child down and you talk to them for, you know, if it's a big deal, for an hour about, oh my God, this is just terrible and this is what you have to do. And in essence, you know, that child, you are the biggest toy that that child will ever have. So that child is going to want that energy one way or another. And if they get it by misbehaving or doing things that you're not particularly thrilled with, they're going to keep doing it. But by giving no energy to negative behavior, being very clear and concise about the boundary or the expectation, and then moving on. I mean, I love, Frank uses an example. I love this example. It's almost like a referee in a football game or a baseball game. I'm not good at sports, but you're out, boom, and that's it. Simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
no negotiating. Yeah,
that's mm-hmm. the consequence. That's what happened. We move on. Mm-hmm. You know, next play.
Yeah,
and that really works. I mean, we see it in residential. I mean, in my adolescent residential program, it's what we call an RTC, a residential treatment center, which is one level of care below a psychiatric hospital. So these kids have experienced the worst possible kinds
yeah.
of trauma that
mm-hmm.
you could ever imagine. And it works.
It does work. It's amazing.
Helps.
I was working with a young woman who came from Great Expectations, and I was working with the Children's System of Care, and we were talking about the Nurture Heart approach, and she said, I'm doing it every day. They taught me how to do that at Great Expectations. She was very proud of herself, you know. I think one real quick example that Howard talks about, too, Howard Glassner, who is the founder, is, you know, you're in a room, and there's ruckus, the kids are out of control, and you're blah, you know, everything, and then there's quiet. Shh, they're quiet. They're quiet. Don't, you know, that's when we that's when we say, good job,
exactly.
What's happening? Where we're all like, be quiet, don't say anything,
that's
they're
right.
quiet, you know.
Yeah.
So we need to acknowledge the greatness, you know,
and
it's such an awesome program.
Absolutely.
And I think it's consistent with what we're trying to do with families now. We're using a protocol called CRAFT, Community Reinforcement Approach and Family Training. And it's a softer, gentler way to attempt to get our loved ones into treatment and also to help manage our stress and also to practice self-care. So it's interesting. All of this stuff ties together.
And the
together.
Positive language
mm-hmm,
that is involved
language.
With CRAFT. When I started hearing about CRAFT, I thought right away how they intertwine, you know, mm-hmm. that language.
Yes.
You know, how we talk to ourselves, the language we use,
That's
the
right.
language we use for our loved ones.
That's right.
It's so important.
So, Peg, I noticed I was fortunate to look at one of your presentations, and you're using this term CGE 3.0. Could you tell us a little about that?
Well, you know, I started to touch on it a little bit before, and that is that, you know, we recognize that we can't really create a sustainable model and scale the model the way we believe it should be scaled, unless we get involved in social innovation, social enterprise. And so I've been very fortunate to meet a gentleman from the Carbon Group, Govi Rao, and I think I mentioned before, I started reading Stanford Social Innovation, trying to figure out how to do this. How do you scale? You know, how do you do good but actually attract investment dollars at the same time. And not venture money. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that want to invest in social impact. And the Carbon Group wants to do exactly that. So their three pillars are women's empowerment, education and energy, energy and education. So we are going to be able to take the prevention model that we've created, a pilot, if you will, at Huntington Central, because that's what it is, and scale it across the country. And in doing so, there is clearly an economy of scale in every business. And so we are going to be able to take the model of the Center for Great Expectations in the prevention, treatment, and renewal, which I'll talk about in a minute, and scale it to every Tier 1 and Tier 2 city by 2025.
That's
in the
amazing.
Country.
You guys are doing such great things.
That's
I'm so happy that we were able to have you as our first guest for our show. So let's take a minute to go to the commercial, and we'll come back and hear some more great stuff that you guys are doing.
Great. I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Huntington Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
¿Sabía que
De cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
We are back with Peg Wright from the Center for Great Expectations. Let's continue to talk about renewal.
So the renewal piece for the center is such a critical component because, you know, we recognize that we've been able to afford women with treatment. We've been able to offer a continuum of care so they can continue in outpatient and supportive housing. But if you can't make a living wage, it's a very difficult situation. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that the Carbon Group has introduced to us is the opportunity to give women a chance to actually make a living wage. And one of the first opportunities is with, it's called Forever Karma, and Govi has a group of women in India that are making these beautiful accessory bags from garbage. And I know it sounds strange, but they're absolutely stunning. And these 20 women in India have put all of their children through college using this methodology over the last 20 years. Wow. So the Carbon Group is going to scale Forever Karma and offer the women at the Center for Great Expectations an opportunity to put these accessory bags together. They are partnering with David's Bridal, and their first market is the Asian wedding market. And Govi tells me that they invite hundreds of people, they go on for days, and they spend boku bucks.
Oh, nice.
So that will be the first market. The second opportunity that they're working with is called Thinkster, and you may have heard about artificial intelligence.
Yes.
And I kind of did in a peripheral way, but I'm learning a lot more about it. But this is a math app. And basic mathematics are, you know, really important to just critical thinking skills. So this company called Thinkster in New Jersey has created a math app for children in K through 5, and it utilizes artificial intelligence. So it actually learns how that child needs to learn and then modifies the program so that that child can actually learn. But what it requires is a coach. And so the company is going to interview our women, those that are interested in this particular path, and train them over an 8-week period to become coaches for children. And the cool thing about it is apparently they only need a high school education, and the app does most of the work. The training is a matter of assisting them in learning how to coach the child and also communicate with the parents. And they can do this from anywhere. They can do it from their apartments. And, of course, you know, our women in supportive housing, transportation is a big problem. And making a living wage is a big problem. So This is an opportunity for them to do that. And then the third phase of renewal, and as we discussed, I mean, we need to expand. And the first Tier 2 city will be Newark. So the center is going to take its treatment model and integrate it into a federally qualified healthcare center in Newark. So St. James FQHC is building another site on the West Ward.
Nice.
So we're going to be integrating into their FQHC. So that's our first expansion. So we're pretty excited about
Peg, you are a visionary.
Yeah.
I remember you saying we are helping all these women and they're getting custody of their children and they're reuniting, and yet we have no safe place to send them to when we discharge them. I have to change this. Next thing I know, you've got 27 supportive housing units. And I absolutely believe you that this is going to happen. Because when you set your mind to something...
Well, I have a lot of help from my friends. That's how it works. It is really about the relationship and partnering. That's the key. It's the whole thing.
So I'd like to just step back a moment, because believe it or not, we're going to be out of time before you know it. How do you take care of yourself and manage to, at this pace, and to keep going and maintain the hope? Because we're called sharing the hope. So I'm just curious.
Well, for me personally, this is not work. This is my mission in life. So I think if you can find your passion and you can really pursue that passion, then it's not work. It's what I'm supposed to be doing. So it's not really a matter of taking care of myself. Those lines are a little blurred for me. They really are. Because it gives me energy to see change happen and to, you know, be in relationship with so many people that have made such an impact on the mission of the center. So, turns me
we
on.
We need so many Peg rights in the substance abuse treatment field.
That's very true.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And a lot of people in the substance abuse treatment areas coming from your area, you know, that you guys are training, that you guys are bringing up and teaching how to be, you know, be where you're at and provide those services, which is so great, you know. Burnout is just, you know, it just happens in our area. And to provide all of that, you know, excitement and show by example, it just really is amazing.
And it definitely comes from the heart. I mean, I could feel it just across the desk right now, how passionate you are about this. And
we
are blessed to have you in our community.
Well, thank you.
You mentioned that you have to raise a lot of money privately in order to provide the superior treatment that you provide. Can you share some of the different ways that you do that?
Well, you know, multiple ways. We are very fortunate to be recipients of, you know, a nice amount of grant funding. We have special events. We have a luncheon happening on June 7th at the Old Mill Inn, which is very exciting. I will not be there. I will be on retreat. That's one of the things that I do twice in the summer. So, and they'll carry on, and it'll be a wonderful event. Then we have a golf outing. That's happening on July 9th. And our annual gala is October 18th. So those are our special events. And individual philanthropy is a big deal. You know, so we're very, very fortunate to be recipients of a very generous base of support. But we always need to grow it. So one of the best ways to do that is to come to visit the center at 19 Delwood Lane in Somerset. And when you're there, you'll feel the love. You'll feel the nurture.
It's very impressive. Yes, it is very impressive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just to get a tour of your facility and then end up in the child care center.
There you go.
It's just amazing. It's
absolutely.
Like you see the young ones and they're doing well and they're flourishing, mm-hmm. and we're not separating them from their mother. We're doing everything. You're doing everything you can. To reunite those families and make them a unit again. And that, you leave there, you know, just so impressed with that child care center, yeah.
Katie's place is a wonderful place. Katie was the daughter of the Deitchman family, and we named the child development center after Katie, and her spirit is alive and well.
Nice, yeah,
Katie's,
I didn't know
place.
That. Yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
So if people are interested and want to come to the luncheon in June, the golf tournament, and then you have for those hockey fans, right? Ken Danico is there.
Kenny's always there, yeah. He's a big...
So hunter. If people are interested in that, how do they reach you?
They can go on our website, which is www.cge-nj.org, or they can call 732-247-7003, extension 332.
And we can post them on our site as well, that information?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. So we'll do that. Anybody who's tuning in.
And are you on social media?
We are. I have. Thank you, Rocky. We have a Facebook page. We have a Twitter account. What else do we have? LinkedIn. We have a LinkedIn.
Yeah. So there are many opportunities for people in our community that want to continue to support what you're doing.
Absolutely.
I'm so grateful that you came here today. I think that you just exude hope. And that's what we all need, is just a little bit more hope in this world, and you're impacting families in Hunterdon County and Somerset County, and your residents come from all over the state.
They do.
So we will be here next Thursday at 5 o'clock, and we have another guest booked, Morgan Thompson, the CEO of Prevention Links. I think she might also be talking about what it was like to be a young person growing up here in Hunterdon County,
yeah.
And she also runs one of the very, very few New Jersey recovery high schools.
Fantastic.
If you like our show on Facebook, it helps spread the word to more people. Again, this is our first show. We are blessed to have Peg Wright from the Center for Great Expectations. Thanks for spending time with us today and sharing the hope.
Thank you, Peg.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
It's time for Hunter Chamber Radio weather. 62 degrees right now, overcast skies, 80% chance of precipitation. We're expecting some storms around noon today. That would be thunderstorms. Yes, you can check your calendar. It's November 6th. Showers this morning, then thunderstorms developing during the afternoon hours. The high is 64. Winds west at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of rain is 80%. Clear skies and a low of 36 tonight. Winds west-northwest 5 to 10 miles an hour. A mix of clouds and sun in the morning tomorrow, followed by cloudy skies during the afternoon. 52 will be the high. North-northeast winds at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Wednesday the 8th, overcast, slight chance of a rain shower, 52. Thursday the 9th, the day of the expo, a high of 54, cloudy. It clears up with a mainly sunny sky on Friday the 10th with a high of 41. Saturday, except for a few afternoon clouds, mainly sunny and a high of 43. And cloudy in the morning and some rain showers on and off during the afternoon hours with a high of 52, chance of rain 50%. Temperatures in area, 62 in Raritan, 61 in Kingwood, 62 in Stockton, 60 up in Frenchtown, 58 in Asbury, 62 in Tewksbury, and 62 in Lebanon. That's Good Morning Hunter and Hunter Chamber Radio weather.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908.
It's time for Hunterdon Chamber Radio weather. 62 degrees right now, overcast skies, 80% chance of precipitation. We're expecting some storms around noon today. That would be thunderstorms. Yes, you can check your calendar. It's November 6th. Showers this morning, then thunderstorms developing during the afternoon hours. The high is 64. Winds west at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of rain is 80%. Clear skies and a low of 36 tonight. Winds west-north.